How are you doing, Sean? All right. Right out of high school, I started working for a city water department. And that water department was a really great place right out of high school as I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And shortly after, I worked there a couple summers as summer help as I was going to college, I came to realize that, and I really love this work. I love the environment that I'm in. You're with a group of people that you're working with day in and day out. And as I was part of that group, you know, my identity was wrapped up in being a utility worker for this water department. And I loved it. It was great. And however, there was a neighboring water district that was bigger. Had bigger trucks, better equipment, a bigger crew, and like those were the guys to hang out with. And I just those guys. And in time, I got a job with those guys. And so I got to switch from being a utility worker, and now I'm a waterworks mechanic. And so I got this new identity, and I'm with this new group of guys. And part of the problem working with construction is that you have a group of guys working together, and many of them have no sort of relationship with Christ. And that was me at that time. I didn't know Christ. I hadn't come as a sinner, and that I needed him in my life. And so I worked there a couple of years, and Lord just got a hold of me, just grabbed hold of me, and he called me. And so I came to that saving knowledge of what I needed in Christ. And so like these guys that I work with, they witness this transformation in my life. There's Rick that came from the city, and then all of a sudden there's this Rick over here that's like totally different, not sure what to do with. So he's reading the Bible, going to church, and doing all these weird things that he hadn't done before. Talking different, all this stuff. And if you hang out with me, we'll find out that sarcasm runs deep. And it's, your Tim's laughing because I've been the receiving end of that on more than one occasion. But, and it's great when you're with a group of guys because, man, you're always giving each other a hard time. Well, there's this one guy that came to work with us after I came to Christ. And so he didn't know the old Rick. He knew like this new guy, this guy that identified himself with Christ. And he saw me doing all these things that I did. And well, one morning we're in a meeting, and Damon, he asked this question in front of the group of guys, and it's been all morning. We've been giving each other a hard time, laughing, joking, and there was a kill shot for me for just that sarcasm to just come in full force. And I took it. I took it, and I humiliated this guy in front of everybody. And it's just this big uproar. Everybody's laughing. And all of a sudden, there's just this prick. And I'm like, that was uncalled for. And I look across the room at Damon, and I can see the change in him, and he wasn't laughing. And like, oh, that was uncalled for. And sitting there, and I'm like, I just blew it with this guy. I stepped into that old identity that I had when I first came to the water district, and I forgot that new identity that I had in Christ. And I said, I took advantage. I tore him down in front of everybody. And when I was looking for preparing for a sermon, just came to that story of why did Peter need to be restored by Jesus? Why did that have to happen? And we're going to go back and we're going to look at, just talk about Jesus. Did you have a question, Aiden? we're going to get there, buddy. All right. So they've been listening to me go through this all week. He's like, come on, Dad. What happened with you and Damon? Oh, we'll get there. So, all right. Part of what was going on with Peter and why he had to be restored is that he had one identity with Christ, but he didn't fully come into the realization of that, the identity that we have in Christ, the Christ that died on the cross for us, that died for our sins. And Peter hung out with him. He was face to face. He got to walk shoulders with him. He got to do all these things. And so we end up, they said he doesn't fully realize his identity, who he is with Christ. And all four of the Gospels talk about Jesus foretelling what Peter's going to do. All four of the Gospels actually record what happened. And just a reminder, as you go through and as if you read all of those accounts, there'll be some variation in there. And like I said, they're all the inspired Word of God, but they're in there. That'd be a little bit different because they're all intended for different audiences. So if you ever, that was one of my big hangouts, things don't quite match up. Well, it's all the same story. It's all the inspired Word of God, but they all were intended for different audiences, and we get to see it all now. And so I'm going to turn to start off in Luke chapter 22, and this is Luke's recording of Peter and Jesus. This is Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me. Anyway, we've got Peter saying, I will go to prison. I will go to death for you. But we all know the story. He ends up denying him. And it's easy for us to say, man, I'll do something for you. I will go the distance with you when we're face to face. That's Peter spent a couple of years side by side with him. And that's where his identity was. He was this guy that got to roam around the countryside with him. And we see, I think even when Peter or when Jesus is arrested, we still see that boldness that we're going to do this and I'm going to go to prison with you. I'm going to die with you. And when we look at John's account of the arrest, John 18, and we're going to, so there's a band of soldiers that come with Judas, and depending on who you talk to, there's 500 to 1,000 men showing up that night to come and arrest Jesus. And so you got this small group of guys, you've got this small army coming in on them, and you still, in verse 10, says, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given to me? He's still got that stance, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to do this. But Christ is still there by his side. He still sees him. He's still there in community with him. And then go to the denial. And we're going to go back to Luke 22. And this is where Peter gets himself in trouble. And part of it, though, is because he's no longer side by side with Jesus. He's following. He's not there with him the whole time. So Luke 22, I'm going to start in verse 54. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it and saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are also one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly, this man also was with him, for he too was a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. It's when Peter has that interaction with Christ face to face, he sees it. He says, that is when, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord. Now he said to him, and how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Like it was, he wasn't there with Christ. Christ was, he was being interrogated. He was doing his thing. Peter's hanging out with this other group. And he has no problem denying him. But as soon as he makes contact with Peter, Peter remembers what it is that Christ said would happen. And then, so now move into the restoration of Peter. And the book of John is the only gospel that records this. And that was the scripture that I read earlier. And so John, in his book, you know, he's clear in chapter 20. He says, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." Now that's why John shares these things that he's sharing. And so we go through this account of the interaction between Jesus and Peter. You know, Jesus, you know, "Do you love me?" And it's like they go back and forth, and he's like, "Yes, I do. Yes, I do." And but then Peter gets it. He says it. But then as soon as they get done with this account, Peter's worried about what's going on with John. And Jesus, then he's just like, you know, in verse 22, he says, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is it to you? You follow me." Peter's still struggling with who he was and what he did with Christ these previous years and who he is now, the relationship that he has with Christ now and what Christ did on the cross for him. And we see this amazing change happen in Peter when we move into the book of Acts, and that comes with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's that same Spirit that is there for all of us that believe in Christ. In Acts 2:4, he says, "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And this is where things, you see just this transformation of Peter. You know, you see this guy struggling with who he is in Christ and what Christ has done for him. And immediately, Peter gets up and he gives the sermon at Pentecost, and 3,000 come to the Lord. Like, it's like, man, we're just a few pages back. Here's this guy. He doesn't get it. He's denying him. He's still worrying about his friend John and what he's doing. And Christ's saying, "You follow me." And he keeps pressing forward. And it's like this same guy that denies him in chapter 4 of Acts, verse 8. And Peter and John, they've been out running around sharing what Jesus did, and they're getting questioned by the council. It says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other man under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now here's the same guy that a while ago denies Christ. in with the Holy Spirit. Like, he's coming, like, he knows, and he's not huddled around some little fire somewhere. He's like, he's before the council being questioned, and he's being pushed. And then they're like saying, well, you guys got to stop talking about this. And then Peter and John in verse 18 says, so they called them and charged them to not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Like, there's no stopping them now. Like, he knows what Christ did on the cross for him, and he's living into it. He's going for it. He's telling everybody. And checking the time, Pastor, we talked on Tuesday, he's like, I'm not sure if you're going to have enough time for all this today. So we'll go into Acts 5, 28 through 32. And this is the apostles. They've just been arrested. An angel of the Lord frees them. And as they get freed, the angel of the Lord says, go out and share the very thing that got you arrested. And so then they're like, this is the high priest comes and questions them in verse 28. It says, we strictly charge you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have been filled, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on the tree. God exalted him as his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And so we just continually see Peter knows where his identity is. He knows who he is. And we keep seeing this in 1 Peter chapter 1. I always have a hard time finding Peter for some reason. There we go. Looked at it enough this week, it finally opened up. Peter says, chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Like, there's more. And Peter mentions the inheritance there. And the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, he also talks about this inheritance and how with that inheritance, we have that inheritance because of our adoption as sons and daughters of God. Chapter 1, Ephesians, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And I still struggle with my identity. Who am I? You know, where am I? And we see Peter walking through that, and he knows who he is. But we have to remember that our identity, our primary identity in life, is in Christ. We live in a world that continually tries to make us identify one way or the other. It might be a political party. It might be, I'm a farmer, school teacher, Bible bus driver. I don't know. I mean, there's pick on John because I get to pick on him on Tuesdays with sarcasm. But the world is constantly saying, this is your identity. But, our identity is not enough. It's not enough for us simply to be a faithful person that shows up every Sunday to monitor Bible church. It's not enough for me to be a good husband. It's not enough for, where is our identity? Is it wrapped up in our membership? Is it wrapped up in being a pastor, teacher? Like, all of that. None of that matters, because at any time, any of those identities can be taken away from us. But the one identity that can't be taken away from us, for those of us that believe in Christ, we have an identity. It will not fail. And our identity is that we are sinners saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross for our sins as the perfect sacrifice. He was raised from the dead. He ascended, and he sent the Holy Spirit so that we can have everlasting life as sons and daughters of the one true living God. Like, that's where our identity's at. And with Damon at work, I forgot that. Like I said, I felt that prick. I knew that I was wrong. And later on that day, I got to go to Damon. And I'm like, Damon, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you about what happened in that morning meeting. And he looks at me and he's like, yeah, I thought that was kind of off for you. That didn't seem like you. And I says, it wasn't, Damon. It wasn't. And I says, that was the old me. That was the guy that did not know Christ. That came back. That showed up. And I got to share with him, like, I have a new identity in Christ. And he calls me into a different life. He calls me into living differently. He calls me to interact with you guys differently. He calls me to work these jobs differently. And he's like, I know, I've seen it. And I says, that's who I am. But every once in a while, I goof up and I forget where my identity is in Christ. And through that conversation, our relationship was restored. And to this day, whenever I see him and talk about the ministry, he's like, when you guys get ready to leave, he says, let me know. I want to help you out. And to this day, I'm not even sure if he believes. He just knows that, hey, Rick and Steph are going into the ministry. But he says, maybe, and for like Damon, I said, I don't know. I don't know everybody here, but if you're one that your identity is wrapped up in the world and Christ hasn't yet revealed that new identity in him, if this is the case, I just want to encourage you that you look to the scriptures, and as you do this, just ask that God reveal this wonderful truth to you, that you can have eternal life through Christ. And for those of us that I've already received this wonderful blessing from God of everlasting life in Christ Jesus, I just want to encourage every last one of us to cling to this identity, remember it often, and live accordingly to the work that Christ did for us on the cross. All right. Heavenly Father, just come to you and just thank you that we have a new identity in Christ. And I just thank you so much for that. And I just pray that all of us here today will just remember that and know that. And I just thank you for all that you do and for your in Jesus' name. Amen.